Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. When you get there, don't forget all the other things you can do there, too. And by the way, the feature article this week, if you subscribe this week, is a little bit about small businesses, small business owners, and Olympians. I think you maybe you'll enjoy that and enjoy that piece. So check that out when you get a chance. And it's free. Comes on Sunday, my newsletter, and get you ready for the coming week ahead. It also includes, by the way, at the end of the letter, it includes the schedule, the guests who are going to be on the show that come up in the coming week, and what they're going to talk about, what they do, and when they're going to be here. And so kind of give you an idea about when you want to make sure you tune in if you're interested in any particular thing. Russell Brown is our guest and a longtime original member of our Brain Trust. He's our business buying and selling expert, and we've been doing a series on skeletons that you need to look for if you're thinking about buying a business. What are some of the key things that you need to look for? He's our good friend. Russell, welcome back to the show.
Morning, Jim. Glad to be back.
It's good to have you back. Russell Brown, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Preparing Your Business for Sale and the expanded second edition of Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business. Still has that Kiplinger's personal finance recommendation, and congratulations again on that, Russ.
Thank you, Jim. Glad to shoot. I hope you read that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I memorized the whole book. We're working on skeletons, Russ, that you have in the book that you put in here to make sure that we can pick out some of the things that will help us. And folks, if you're thinking about buying a business, or if you're thinking about selling a business, you might see yourself in this list that Russell has created that's in his book. But if you think about buying a business, these are some great cliff notes, if nothing else, on what to pick up on. And I think we're on J, aren't we?
Yeah, we've tried to alphabetize these, make them a little more orderly. And J is jack of all trades, where the owner is the major or only asset in the business. And kind of a corollary to that, it's a job, not a business.
Right.
So that theme is something that when you look at a business that's for sale, if you're a buyer or if you own a business considering selling it, you know, look at this feature of the business. If this describes your business or the one you're looking at, you really, really want to think hard about it, because there are a lot of small businesses out there that return a income to the owner, but nothing more than that. They're essentially a job,
mm-hmm.
And so the question is, do you want to buy a job if you're the purchaser?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if you're the owner, do you think that a buyer wants to buy a job? Typically is what I'm trying to say. A business that doesn't generate a profit is really not a saleable business. It's difficult. Let's put it this way: it's difficult to sell,
mm-hmm.
because there's a lot of responsibility associated with owning a business, and of course, to sell that business, we're going to have to emphasize things like opportunity and what you can do to improve the business and all of that. And it's long been my opinion in life that if you work hard as a business owner to to improve a business, to increase its profits, whatever, then you should earn the fruits of that labor,
right,
and not pay somebody for the opportunity to do that ahead of time.
So you're saying that the obvious, which is obvious, that you not only want to to make a living, if you're working in the business, you not only want to draw a salary, but you also should be making a profit. And that's where you're saying there's the difference between owning a job and owning a profitable business.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right. Because in addition, if you work in the business, you definitely need to take a fair market salary or income for what you do in the business. I'm not talking about the ownership and the upper level management of that
right.
business that goes with owning it and but if you do a job that can be replaced by an employee,
mm-hmm.
basically a full-time or even part-time job, you have to be paid a fair market wage for that. But then after that is when you determine whether or not the profitability of the business.
Hold on to that thought, Russ. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're going to be right back with our good friend Russell Brown. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Russell Brown, and we're talking about some of the skeletons that you need to be looking for in the closets of any business that you're looking for. And if you already own a business that you might sell one day, you might want to think about the skeletons in your own closet as we're talking about these things. And we're talking about buying a business from somebody Russell says who is a jack of all trades, somebody who basically is everything to the business. And of course, Russell, we're not passing judgment. I mean, if you want to buy a business that's like this, then that's fine. You just have to have your eyes open so you come into it in a healthy way and in as successful a way as possible.
Oh, absolutely. And I hope I didn't leave the impression that you wouldn't want to buy a business that doesn't make a profit, but does pay a nice income to the owner who operates the business.
That is one thing we have to pay attention to that, Russ, because I mean, maybe the company's not turning a profit, but it's because the customer's taking a $200,000 a year salary.
Well, yeah, and the way you do a business valuation, of course, I do a lot of business valuations and done that for many years. And when you do a valuation, you always do what you call reconstruct or recast the income and expenses. So I'm talking about, let's say, after you have reconstructed and recast. So let's say an owner is doing a job that could be hired out, let's say, for $50,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
and he's drawing, as for your example, $200,000 a year. Well, what we would do is recast that. Show the expense of that for that job at $50,000, and show an additional $150,000 into the profit mm-hmm. of the business. So that business then would be a real business with $150,000 a year profit.
And you know, Russell, in the process of buying a business, the recasting of the financial statements is one of them. Is where the real fun is, isn't it?
Well, it's critical. I mean, because so many small businesses, and this is rightfully so, are operated so as to minimize their income tax exposure
mm-hmm.
and maximize what the benefits of that business, quote-unquote, to flow through to the owner, to the owner-operator. And benefits can come in other ways than just straight salary.
Right.
There's many, many, many ways to get perks out of a business that make small business so attractive to so many people.
Another thing, Russell, that you mentioned earlier that I wanted to make sure that we covered just a little bit, you said, you know, any business owner should be making a fair wage for, you know, a market wage for what they're doing if they're actually contributing to the business. Of course, as you well know, a lot of businesses, there are a lot of businesses that are in a certain stage of the life of that business, the owner will forego that kind of an income in order to help capitalize the company to get it off the ground. And of course you've probably been there. I've been there. That's an acceptable strategy. The difference is that business is not saleable at that moment. at that point?
It's difficult to put a price on that business is the problem.
Right.
Because there is no provable profit in the business, income over and above the fair market salary of the owner. So it's difficult to hang a value on that. Because the question is, why would you, you know, a lot of people, if you're looking at this from an investment approach, a lot of people just aren't willing to put a big investment of, say, a couple $100,000 into a small business where all they're going to get out of it is the same amount of income they can get if they go down the street and take a job in a similar type of a company.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you risk the $200,000 to earn what to get an income that you could get with no risk?
Right.
And therein lies the problem. And so we, you know, in the books I've written and the software I've written, I try to show people how to build the value in the business and where to find these income items that add to the value in the bottom line when you're doing evaluation.
And, well, when you're looking at a business like this, the jack of all trades, where the owner that you're dealing with is basically the major asset. He or she is doing so much of the work, and the company is so dependent upon them. You know, you got to say, can I replace that? Am I, is that replaceable with somebody else like me? But the other thing is maybe this person has invented a system or a device or something that's pretty unique that can be leveraged beyond what the current owner is doing with it.
Right, and that's what you're looking for. You're looking for opportunity for the future. There are many, many reasons that small businesses, when you look at them, you can find these gems in the rough where you say, you know, this business could really, really be making a lot more money than it is. And there's many reasons for that. And, you know, a lot of the most typical reason is that owners get older and tired and get complacent, and all of those kinds of things that happen as you move on in years.
Mm-hmm.
and perhaps aren't maximizing the profit potential of their company.
Right.
And a new owner with an increased enthusiasm. And
someone who sees, who doesn't come to the business with the baggage of the last 20 or 30 years, with the perspectives of the last 20 or 30 years, someone who comes to the ownership of this business with a 21st century view. That's amazing. It's amazing how much difference that can make. And we're going to talk about this some more with our good friend Russell Brown right after these messages. Russell, give us your website, please.
Businessbookpress.com,
and when we come back, we're going to get Russell to tell us what you'll find at that website. Stay with us, please.
A band is blowing Dixie, double fall time.
We're back. It's 7:10. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Russell Brown, and folks, his website, as he mentioned as we went to the break, is businessbookpress.com. And I encourage you to check it out. You can find his books there, as I mentioned earlier, which the second edition now, the expanded second edition of his strategies for successfully buying or selling a business is there, as well as the Preparing Your Business for Sale book. Both of those are there. But you got your BizPricer, too. Russell, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, BizPricer is a business valuation software package that I took and I stripped out all the baloney. As you know, I've done many, many business valuations for many years, and I took the process, and I took out all of the stuff that the profession uses to make it complicated and expensive, and I made it easy to understand and to use by a typical business owner or someone looking to buy a business, so they can get their arms around what the fair market value of that business would be. And it's, like I say, it's easy to use, it's inexpensive, you can get it from my website. You can get it in either download. You can download it immediately and have it right away, and you start to use it. Or you can get it delivered to you in hard copy on a CD and a CD-ROM.
And
so whatever way. And
and some of the what is the, by the way, what I meant to ask you is what is the price of the of BizPricer?
It's $99.95.
Yeah,
is the in hard copy. Or you can download it for $79.95.
All right.
And you just
And in the past, you've thrown in a little sweetener for my audience, haven't you?
If you say you heard this on the Jim Blasingame show or that you're a friend of Jim Blasingame, I will make sure that I add a premium of some kind in for you, either reduce the price or give you something additional.
What if now you're kind of limiting my folks here when you ask them to say that they have to say they're a friend. That's hard for some folks to do. What if they say we don't like the guy but we heard about him? We don't like the guy, but would that get us any kind
Jim,
of discount?
I can't imagine that ever happening.
Okay,
but if it does.
Okay, and surely, folks, if I get you a discount, surely or a little extra value, surely that would be worthy of being liked. Okay, let's get back to our discussion. And by the way, folks, that's businessbookpress.com. What about dealing with this? How do we negotiate with a jack of all trades example of an owner? How do we? This is a tough one to close, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And because again, the problem is going to be that the fellow or person who owns the business is going to, again, it's like most business owners, they're going to love the business and think it's worth twice as much as it perhaps is. I mean, which is typical in this field. But so you have to get your arms around what is the value, come to some agreement. So for a transaction to take place, and that is so difficult when there is nothing in the business over and above the income of the owner. And by using my books or software, you may find income that might otherwise not be apparent,
mm-hmm.
because, like we said, a lot of times income is not taken in direct compensation; it's taken in other ways. And so I work hard in my books and software to help you find those items and to pull them out and to make them visible so that they can be counted in the way the valuation is calculated in the business.
Isn't a jack of all trades owner the most vulnerable to somebody just coming in and setting up a shop side by side, so to speak, or in the same market? And basically going after his or her customers, aren't they the most vulnerable to being basically neutralized in the marketplace, marginalized?
Well, certainly one of the most. That's for sure. You know, when you have a business that you are the chief cook and bottle washer, to put it another way, unless part of what you do is highly specialized or unique in some way, that it would be difficult for someone else to do that.
Because the customers love you so much, what you bring to the table, but at the same time, that's what you're selling, and if you're gone, the person buying the business doesn't have you.
Right. A good example of the technical aspect of this, for example, I just was
about 20 seconds, Russ.
All right, well, I'll just get it out quick, computer repair business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how to fix a computer. I could never buy a business like that and run it profitably. And I suspect you couldn't either, Jim.
And you're right.
So, it'd be very difficult to value a business like that,
yep.
where it's such a specialized capabilities needed.
Russ, thank you for being here. Good job today. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time.
Okay, Jim. Thank you.
Russell Brown, ladies and gentlemen, businessbookpress.com. Don't forget to check out his BizProxer. I think you'll like it. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back. Whatever you do, don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.